podcast friends, welcome. So right now I'm sitting in a kitchen with my really good friend, Katie. Some of you guys know her, some of you don't, but here's what I could say from the get-go is the depth of knowledge of a really wisdom to know Jesus in super practical ways. That's what I'm excited for you guys to get to hear today, is just what God's been doing in her, showing her some things. And so let me just preface it like this. Here's the thing on a podcast, or really any medium that we listen to, we don't have to agree or have the same perspective on everything. Like, think about 10 years ago when I would think about, here's an example, women in ministry, women teachers, women leaders, women's roles in the church, completely different. So I'm excited. I don't think that there's anything that's weird, tricky, right, Katie? Nothing that's like funky, but it might, maybe it, for me, when I was talking to Katie about this stuff, it brought up new perceptions and some things that I was doing. And I was like, let's have a conversation about this and let other friends in. So we're talking specifically about women hearing from God. What does that look like? What does that mean these days? What are the struggles? What are some observations and themes that we're noticing that aren't just between her and I, or even a couple friends? It's like sort of this pervasive thing. So let's get right into the conversation. Let's do this.
You're listening to the Leader Lab podcast, a podcast that inspires women to step up and step out in leadership to fulfill their God-given callings. My name is Andy Bruce, and I'm so passionate about helping women develop their character and understand their callings that I went out and got a doctorate in leadership. Now I'm investing in and partnering with women leaders who just love Jesus and who are raising their hand saying, God, if you're looking for someone to use, I'm right here. So let's talk about how. How do we step into what that looks like?
Well, Katie Marston, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
Yeah. Okay, so Katie, I'm curious how you would answer this. Mm-hmm. How have we, you and I, and even if Melissa Dunn, our ministry partner, mm-hmm. how have we gotten around this table? What's that journey been like in your perception?
Yeah, it's been a long on and off. I feel like you and Melissa been together for years. I was in, out, in, out. Really being under your leadership teaching for a while at our church, which was just super freeing for me because I think your teaching was the first time where I heard lots of vulnerability and it's okay to not be perfect.
Yeah, I had no boundaries in those days. That's
exactly what that was. God used it anyway.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. His grace. Did that, and then I think, I want to say, came back around the time that Truth Groups was being born, mm-hmm. gave you guys some feedback on some thoughts that I had, and Melissa was like, well, how about you take these, like, minute, two-minute Marco Polos and make it more of a on-the-team, consistent kind of thing, and here we are.
Yeah, years later, you've hung in there, Katie. You're like the last girl standing. Yeah, I remember that feedback regarding Truth Groups. We had asked, I don't know, 10 or 12, something like that, friends, like, hey, will you guys figure this Bible thing out with us? Kind of a way to study the Bible without a leader and a teacher. And geez, you want to talk controversial. Mm-hmm. All the friends, good friends. I mean, lots. I listen to these friends who are like, you can't do that. People, mm-hmm. women are going to go off the deep end mm-hmm. without a teacher and a leader. Kind of reminds me a little bit of this conversation.
Yeah.
So we're talking about hearing from God.
Yeah. And I think that's key. This is a conversation because in me, there's a lot of curiosity here. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to put that on the front. This is a conversation, our experiences, what we're wondering in women, what is happening. No, thus saith the Lord.
No, nor firm conclusions that mm-hmm. are ultra firm. Yeah. They're instead things that we're wondering these days and like, that's different. That's not the same as where we were a year ago mm-hmm. or 5 years ago. Yeah. So when you think of the words, Katie, hearing from God, what mm-hmm. does come to mind?
I think biblically, I'm already thinking of like Moses got to see him face to face, Daniel had dreams. You know, I'm kind of going through the list of like, how did people hear from God in the Bible? The new church hearing from each other, like God talking through other people. Mm-hmm. So what about you? What are your initial thoughts?
I think all the complications. I think one, as Christ followers, we should be hearing from God. Mm-hmm. That's biblical. That's John 10, mm-hmm. where Jesus is like, my sheep, I know my sheep and my sheep know my voice. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. And I think for you, actually, am I remembering correctly, that was a big deal for you or maybe one of our other friends?
No, yeah. That verse, that section, that's the part of the Bible that I heard the night that I surrendered my life to Christ. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. By the way, you thought you were a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grew up in the church. Mm-hmm.
Did follow the rules. Hmm. You know, thought following the rules meant that God would love me more or at least resent me less, you know?
Oh my gosh, that's hysterical. I mean, so, it's not hysterical.
It's because it's so wrong. It's not what he is. Yeah. So we can laugh now because it's like, oh, way in the past. But yeah, so I did. That's my story. I grew up. And then it was later on in life that I was like, oh, I don't know. This looks, you know, I was in a different church. I was in, you know, the women's group where you're at. And I was like, this looks different. Mm. I don't know if what I had before is what is true or not. So
you were associating with God.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
God was not dwelling in you, which is the mark of being a Christ follower. It's mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit deposited in us, guaranteeing our inheritance mm-hmm. forever in heaven. Yeah. So we're talking about hearing God because mm-hmm. you brought up some conversations a few mm-hmm. weeks ago. And I don't know if you really know this, but just before that day, mm-hmm. I'd been talking to Melissa Dunn. By the way, the three of us, Katie, Melissa, and I are all on a team. It kind of feels like we just fiddle around with ministry. it really does. But in other ways, this is for today what God's called us to, mm-hmm. is to fiddle around and just love God with the intent of reaching friends who feel alone in their relationships with God, especially when they're like, I think God's called me to do something. Mm-hmm. I think I'm supposed to, whatever it is, Katie, it doesn't mm-hmm. really matter. Those are our people, of like the ones who say, I'm scared to death. Talk about unqualified. Mm-hmm. I'm at the front of that line.
Mm-hmm. Or I don't have a title. No. Or I don't have a position.
I'm just a normal woman. Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't have a Bible background. Mm-hmm. Yep. Those are our people. But they're raising their hands being like, God, I will do whatever you ask me to do. I'll do it badly. I'll fumble. Mm-hmm. I'll get it all mixed up, mm-hmm. but I'm willing to do it. Yeah. So that's what we do together, the three of us. Just before you'd gotten here that day and started talking about the stuff we're going to get to in the podcast, mm-hmm. I had been saying the same language, the same stories, like literally, Katie, crazy. Some of the same stories that you referenced when you were describing, I was like, I'm just going to keep this tucked in, but there's convergence there.
Yeah.
So when you think about hearing from God, what, start us, like what comes to your mind first? Where do you want to start?
Yeah, let me start with that day, because this has been where the birth of this conversation has started. I went and had coffee. Let me preface, I work full time and I'm a mom of two kids. And also, like, I get the pack schedules. I fit in my stuff in lunch breaks. So I went on a lunch break with a friend, and I left that conversation just feeling this freedom. And I was just like, why do I feel like this? How do others feel this freedom when I have a conversation? And what is this? What is freedom? What does this mean? And it's not so much, God gave me this picture, not so much of like chains breaking, but this picture of a little girl came to me in like her Sunday dress. And you know how, as a little girl, you've got these flippy skirts and mm-hmm. you're excited about it. Mm-hmm. And this little girl was just dancing, having fun with her skirt. So the two extremes that were not happening there is she's not sitting there with her hands tucked in, trying to press
wrinkles out of her dress, not moving, hoping that she's doing the right thing. But she's also not going off the rails and running around the field. And,
she's not manic. She's not.
She is just in her element. It doesn't matter if people are looking or not, in her element. Mm. And so, and that just felt like freedom. Like, that's what it felt like. So, so then it was just like, well, what does this mean? And as I'm, you know, thinking about this picture, I'm starting to hear different stories, and it kept coming out of this, just an idea of like not attributing to God what is his because of various reasons, which we're going to talk about a little bit, but not hearing from God, or maybe we're hearing from God, but we don't know it, or maybe we are, but we're embarrassed by it, or so it was just this contrast of either there's been the abuse of running all over the place, this little girl running all over the place of like, I'm hearing from God, I got a word from God. Breaks. Or I think this is God, but I'm scared to say because I don't want to bring him dishonor, or I don't, you know.
I don't want to hurt somebody. I don't want to disappoint others. Yeah. What if this doesn't turn out? Like, oh my God, goodness, so much insecurity, confusion, that keeps our voices really quiet about what God's doing.
Yep.
And then, Katie, we wonder, why is God not doing more in my life?
Yeah.
It's kind of all connected, maybe.
Yeah. So then that's sort of this curiosity of like, well, what is God? Like, how do we hear from God? Is it ways that we're already experiencing, but we're not identifying? Or is it, you know, I don't know. What I realized, though, is I had been trying to identify these ways for years in order to be able to say, yes, this is God, or no, it's not God. And that put God in a box of like, oh, this is all he can do.
Yep.
Hmm. And instead, after that, being like, oh, no, 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 no. Really, it should be like, man, he is a God of possibilities. Well, he could be talking in a dream to my four-year-old. He could be talking through audibly. Like, just, and once again, this is just curiosity playing off of like, what other ways? Not so I can put him in a box to say, yes, that's him. No, it's not him. But being like, oh, you're the God of possibilities. What else?
Yeah.
What else could you do? And we could confidently say, yep, God spoke to me, and this is what it was, or how it was, or whatever.
Well, yeah, Katie, even like with that, I think about what if people did that to me personally. I feel sometimes misunderstood. Do you ever feel like, just in general, misunderstood by people?
I think that's universal.
It is, right? Right? Yeah. Okay. I feel, because I'm really, really surfacey, goofy.
Yeah.
A little like self-deprecating with my humor, or I'm going to throw you under the bus with my humor. These days, it is what it is. But there's also a very different side that has depth and insight and perspective that I think is unique. Mm-hmm. That's who God's made me to be. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's all the in-between. So for me, it can get a little bit, every once in a while, a little dicey when I feel really misunderstood and like somebody's missing who I am. Mm. And it feels like the same way that we do with God. Like, imagine taking that illustration of, no, God can't do it like that, or God shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And therefore we reduce him to fitting neatly inside a box. Katie, if people were to say, oh, Andy, you know, put herself, like, she's really loud when she enters a room and she's going to make jokes. I don't know what would be some, like, what a.
So that if you did something valuable, it was like,
you discount it automatically.
No, because that wasn't a joke.
Yeah, she's hollow. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, super surfacey and those kind of things. Or the other way. It's like, I'm not just having some insight. Like, it misses the point of me as a whole person, and it feels really sad. Mm-hmm. And it feels the same way with God. Like, I think we do this really, really easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you think of women struggling, well, first of all, instead of me feeding that line to you, you're shaking your head now.
I saw that question and I was like, yeah. So the question is, do we think women struggle with that?
To hear from God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why do you?
So the question really is why?
Yeah.
Why do we think so? Well, I think of our friend that, you know, had an experience with God in a hard spot. And even as she was sharing it, she was like, I don't know if if it was God or not. And it was just, I mean, an outsider looking in, it was like, that was God giving you comfort,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
So, and I think in her position, she was just so scared to bring dishonor to say it was him if it wasn't, like erring on the side. So I think as women, we err, we love truth. We want to bring honor to God. And so what if we claim it's him and it's not?
Yeah. And then we feel, what happens? Like, what's the problem? So if I'm like, hey, I think God told me, and I could say something right now. I'm not going to get specific because I think I've learned a couple of things, Katie, mm-hmm. to not be like, hey, everybody, here's some like silly idea. And I kind of wonder if it's God, and do that yeah. really prematurely. So mm-hmm. yay for God bringing some wisdom, maturity through the hard stuff of learning the hard way a lot of times. But there's something kind of rolling slowly, and I mean quietly, through mm-hmm. my brain. It's only been a couple weeks, mm-hmm. so let me put that out there with it. Mm-hmm. But if this were several years ago, I would probably seize up and panic. Mm-hmm. God's asking me to do something. Mm-hmm. And then probably, well, certainly say something prematurely, which is not going to be helpful to somebody mm-hmm. if I'm not thought through this thing or haven't kind of like tested this thing. Mm-hmm. But these days it feels like instead, what would it be? What if I'm wrong? What if I'm making it up? What if this is going to do damage to the church? Mm-hmm. What if somebody doesn't believe me? Mm-hmm. So now I'm kind of mm-hmm. going into another thing, just of perceptions, mm-hmm. Meaning I think God's wired me as a leader to mm-hmm. see a whole thing mm-hmm. and can sometimes have insights, sometimes of like, here's where we are and mm-hmm. here's dynamics happening. And I think God's like, use your voice. I don't just give you perception on what's happening within my body mm-hmm. to stay within you. Cause then mm-hmm. what do? I'm like, well, I could just pray about that. Well, mm-hmm. I'll fast about that for a day mm-hmm. thinking yeah. that's it, because I'm really afraid mm-hmm. to get it wrong. Mm-hmm. So what if I go to some friends who I really trust them, Katie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think I do. And I say, hey, this is a sense that's kind of been on my heart, on my mind for quite some time. This isn't new. Yeah. This is yeah. like 18 months plus in the making.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid to say, I think God showed me that. I think mm-hmm. this is where we're at and this is what's happening. Because what if they don't just discount the fact that, I don't know, Andy, we don't... That's not kind of what is driving with us. That's not yeah. the consensus.
Yeah.
And they don't just say, yeah, that wasn't from God. They discount me.
Yeah.
My voice, my perspective.
Because it's so tied in together.
Yeah. And yeah. it feels yeah. like, okay, it's not just about God. It is way about me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I'm not saying this is right. I'm saying yeah. that's a reality that I'm facing these days about some things. My husband's like, you need to go. You need to say.
Yeah.
You need to say what's on your heart. And I'm like, why don't you?
Yeah.
You share the same perspective. You go. And because there's a lot that feels like to be lost. Mm-hmm. And that's where my focus is.
Yeah.
Instead of what's to be gained, yeah. how God might use it.
Or even something that God keeps bringing to me as I'm looking into this. How much do you trust my spirit within you? Because mm-hmm. I'm thinking about what's the reaction, what's the domino effect. Am I bringing, you know, all of the outcomes instead mm-hmm. of, you know, the Bible says in accordance, this is specific to prophecy, but, you know, prophesying in accordance with your faith. And in Galatians, it's talking about, you know, living by the Spirit. I can either choose to be a child of the slave woman who went by the rules of check, check, mm-hmm. check, check. Or I can choose to be a daughter of the free woman who said, I'm living by the Spirit. And that's a lot of, that's pretty vulnerable, because mm-hmm. rules, we can know what direction we're heading in, But living in the Spirit is understanding Christ's Spirit within you, mm-hmm. listening to it. Is it me? Is it him? Is it, and then trusting that, you know? So even if you went to those friends and they're agreeing or not agreeing, there's almost something they cannot provide you, which is, what is the level of trust that I have that is the Spirit living within me? Mm-hmm. And that's not a formula. I mean, there's lots of, yeah but that's not, but I think that's what it comes down to. Of course, we use the church, mm-hmm. accountability. So I'm not saying don't listen to people and believe what you want to believe, mm-hmm. but, you know, your friends, your trusted friends, they can speak into it, but the Spirit knows, and you've got to learn the Spirit, if it's him or if it's like my selfishness, yeah. you know.
I was actually on Marco Polo with a friend of mine last week, and he is great, and there's a lot of Jesus in mm-hmm. his life. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Jesus. Like, this man loves Jesus eagerly. Mm-hmm. And so in some ways we speak the same language, meaning with exhortation or yeah. with sort of just like, I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to know God, and what does yeah. it take? You know, yeah, and so spurring. He really spurs yeah. me on big time. So I popped on Marco Polo with him last week, and I said, hey, I've seen you use your voice mm-hmm. when you feel like God's shown you something that is for the church. Like the church at large, the local church, your community, whatever it is. And I said, how did you know when to go? Mm-hmm. Now, Katie, let me be clear. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't know when to go. Mm-hmm. It's that I needed some support mm-hmm. and somebody to look me through mm-hmm. a video screen in the eye and be like, Andy, stop.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Do
I just
it.
Needed somebody to urge me a little yeah. bit, and somebody yeah. that gets me to mm-hmm. be like, if God told you to do something, then why are you talking to me? I needed that, yeah. you know.
Someone was chastising.
Yeah, totally. And yeah. that's exactly what he gave. But he did say this. I said, how do you know when it's actually time to go versus, mm-hmm. yeah, it's not quite time. I mm-hmm. can't shake something that I feel like is on my heart and mind. Mm-hmm. But just because something is on my heart and mind doesn't mm-hmm. mean that there's a green light and that it's go time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so he said something where I'm like, well, duh. He said, I knew it was time when it was like, I can't live like this any longer. Mm. I've got to go for my own relief. Uh-huh. And other times he would say, well, I just knew it was time because it naturally, I'm like, okay, God, if, you know, he said, I was fully willing, mm-hmm. not the kind of willing where you're like, well, Lord, if you really want, then yeah. this and this and this.
Dragging
and
my
he's
feet.
Like,
mm-hmm.
instead, God, I'm going to choose mm-hmm. to not be like, okay, I'm at the red light just waiting for it to turn green. Mm-hmm. He's like, no. I know Jesus better than that. I mm-hmm. trust him, like mm-hmm. what you're saying, yeah. more than that. Instead, I'm going to be like, hey, God, I'm all yours. Mm-hmm. Whatever you give me to do, I'm just mm-hmm. going to go, like yeah. fully trusting you, not needing to be treated like yeah. a teenager where you're like, tomorrow morning, you yeah. have to do this. You know what
do
I mean?
This. And I think we need to clarify, too, this is not just big action items.
That's true. So what would you say is the other side of it?
It could be anything. I think it can even be, we've been talking about like intimacy with Christ of, I'm trying to think of like just small things where he wants to know, well, I want to know him more and he's trying to show himself more. Mm-hmm. And so maybe there's no action step with it, but I have to choose to believe. I'm trying to think of an example. Maybe could I talk about my son?
Yeah.
A four-year-old. The story I'm thinking of, I've got a four-year-old and an eight-year-old, and I was doing a Bible study through online with some other women, Teams, Microsoft, and we were studying prayer. And specifically, laying on of hands had come up. We were meeting on Wednesdays,
And we're just like, oh, what's prayer and what's laying on of hands? And one of us had come across a scripture of Jesus with the children. And, you know, I came away with this question of like, you know, not really going to have an answer to it of what I, you know, I wonder what that looked like. Was it like, you know, they're all huddled around his feet or in his lap, or is he like going around hugging the kids, you know, like a president or something, you know, just kind of like, what did this scene look like? And so we're just kind of laughing and like coming up with scenarios that we think Jesus is doing with these children. Well, later on that same Sunday, my four-year-old woke up from nap, and he talks pretty well for a four-year-old. He came out, and sometimes I'm like, oh, did you dream anything? Just because I like hearing the ridiculousness that comes out sometimes. But I hadn't asked this time. He came in, and he said, Mommy, I just had the best dream of Jesus coming in a room full of kids, and he was just hugging us. And I just started, you know, crying of like, oh, this is the scene we're talking about and asking Jesus about. And that wasn't me taking an action item of leading this huge room or doing, it was literally, I was asking Jesus, who are you? Or what were you doing? How are you acting towards these children? And he's like, let me be a God of possibility, not a box. So I'm going to talk through a four-year-old because you think that can't happen. And I'm going to speak to him through dreams. And so I just came out with that. That was just an item of intimacy with Jesus, that it was like, I have to say that was him. I have to. Like, I cannot deny him. And I think it would be a dishonor to my son to dampen that out. And a dishonor to God to be like, oh, silly kid dream.
Your son can't speak. So it's like, you can't dishonor your son if he's 4 years old. Yeah. And God's like, well, don't dishonor my son either by denying it.
Yeah, so much. So that's an example of like, that was just pure intimacy. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, me making a decision or doing an action. It was just knowing Christ. And I think that's the same thing with our friend and her story is, nobody was in that room with her in the hospital. It's like, but he was there, and that was an act of intimacy where she could either trust that it was him and boldly say, he met me there, or not. And that's, I think that sometimes is almost harder than coming up with a path. I don't know.
What do you mean? Think. Which one's harder?
Like trusting that he is speaking to us.
Yeah.
Just purely for intimacy and relationship versus going and doing for him.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Oh, absolutely, Katie. Because there's outcomes, there's fruit, and there is sort of a manuscript or a list of bullets to hit if I'm going to go do something for him. Yeah, I'm noticing a couple things these days, and I'm curious if you're noticing these things also. Mm-hmm. One is, Katie, I'm talking in my circle. No, I'm not. I'm talking in our region, which is Central Virginia. Mm-hmm. There seems to be this uptick in the last 3 or 4 months of women experiencing those kinds of moments where they're like, God came, God spoke, God said, God told me, go do or stop or whatever.
Yeah.
Or God gave me this remarkable picture and it's changing me. Yeah. It's bearing fruit.
That's
And I'm noticing it particularly in people who don't talk like that. There are a handful of people around me. I'm telling you, Katie, they don't talk like that. It almost is like wrong to them. They would be maybe in this conversation like those who were, it's like, no, we don't just say. You better be able to back it up that God spoke to you.
Yeah.
And they're the ones being like, God is doing something among at least the women in our area that is producing fruit. And it's like bringing Jesus and bringing like this desire for the real thing, not the things that are close enough or kind of, or not this try harder, do more, attempt to get better. It's like, oh, Jesus, he's none of those things. He doesn't come with requirements and he's not asking me to do more. He's just coming and talking to me. So if you were a
a woman, you are a woman. What would you tell a woman who's like maybe on the fence about some of this stuff? Or what are guardrails? Or how do you support or love?
Yeah, that's so hard. Because I am a person that I typically err on caution.
Yes,
like
you
this
do.
Is all very new to me. I feel very prescriptive. You know, like you said, you were talking about, and I keep referencing in scripture about prophecy just because that's what I've been studying specifically. But, you know, they talk about that's one of the gifts where they say, check with other people. Don't just trust that one. Check with other people. So you were talking about a close group of friends. I had a woman come up to me that I'm getting to know her, and I was talking about this kind of stuff, and she was like, if you ever want to come to me, you know, and run something by me, like, we will pray through it together. We will. So doing that for each other with an open heart, because I felt, because she was open to it, you know, just to say, she already knows I'm on the side of caution. I needed somebody that was open. So I think having people, a close group of friends that know you, that if you needed to run it by, they're there. Prayer, like it is this connecting with that spirit of God that's inside of you. And, you know, thinking about my journey with listening to God, it's been scripture, 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 scripture. And that's not read your Bible more, pray more. So I don't want people to hear that. I'm just saying, you know, my husband and I, as we go about our marriage, we're going on dates and we're asking each other questions and we're doing activities together. It's the same thing with Jesus. Like, as I get to go on dates and talk to Jason more, I'm getting to know him better. Same thing with God. So it's not like, oh, time to hang out with my husband.
Yep, I got to do three chapters.
Yep.
Otherwise, I don't meet the standard.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like whatever is engaging your mind with Jesus, whether that be a devotional or truth group or just read, go on like those dates.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of cheesy. With Jesus, so that you're getting to know him more and more, because that makes the spirit, I think, louder. That's what I've noticed in my experiences. The more I've been doing that, and you know, because when you hang out with a friend, what do you start? You start doing their mannerisms, right? Like,
yes,
they,
totally.
Like they talk with their, you know, or you say like same language as them.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Like the more you're hanging out with Jesus, you're going to start doing his hand motions or his wording.
I love
those
that,
kinds
Katie.
Of things. So, it's not read more, pray more, check those off. It's just spend, if you want to do those mannerisms, then spend more time with him. That has been my experience of doing that. So
yeah, I think for me a couple of things come to mind. One is I'm a little impulsive by nature. It's my personality and just part of who I am. It's why I take a lot of ADHD medicine. But I've learned over the years, when I sort of sense, I think I just might have dropped a thing into my mind, heart of it. Typically it's ministry oriented, like, I think we're maybe supposed to go that direction or do this or have that or blah, blah, blah. Well, sit on it for a little bit because it's never typically like an imperative to be done today. That's a different genre for me. That's moving in the spirit today. It's like, hey, text your neighbor, walk over.
Oh yeah.
Check on that person. You know what I mean? Those are like little prompts. This is more like some vision or some longer term direction. Sitting on that. And I think, Katie, I used to be afraid, and it goes both directions. One is that if God told me to do something like this, ministry-wise, a little bit bigger picture-wise, maybe some more long, it's not an immediate and quickly done thing. One, I would be afraid because I would try to dodge the bullet. And I felt like God's going to get me. Not God's going to make me do more than what I want to. And so I would kind of try to dodge the bullet.
Because you're uncertain, or because you're scared, or you're just like, I just don't feel
like I think
it.
Because of that massive lie that felt embedded into my guts, that I ruin everything. Yeah. So eventually I'm just going to ruin it all.
Somebody else can do it better. Just talk to that person.
Like, really, God, you really want to choose me to do this, because you and I both know how this is going to go. Mm-hmm. I ruin everything I touch. Yeah. And I had this pretty strong... And I couldn't do any, it was lodged in me that, you know, like King Midas would touch things and they would turn to gold. Yeah. And I felt like that about whatever I touch, I will ruin. Mm. Which, Katie, that never, ever, ever happened. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, the evil one is really cunning. But with that, so I was either trying to dodge a bullet or I felt a sense of purpose. And so I want to like get on that horse and ride it faster than the pace that the Holy Spirit was leading.
Yeah.
And these days I do feel like God's dropped something. And I tell you, I'm so grateful. I just feel no rush. Mm. I'm like, God, when you speak, nothing can stop it.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing can impede it. Nothing's going to make it disappear too fast or get started, or and it's not going to kill me. Mm-hmm. Instead, when you speak, I trust you. Like, you just sow the seeds of whatever you're wanting me to do. And I feel in no rush. Mm-hmm. I don't feel scared, which is kind of a, I think because I no longer am abiding by that lie that I'm going to ruin it.
Yeah.
I don't have to be scared. I'm like, this will be great. Yeah. If this is the Lord, I don't have to foster it or feed it or nurture it or speed it along or do things to get it going. Just relax and enjoy the process with him and be like, Lord, I could be, here's what happens. I'm usually not wrong. I just usually make implications that aren't true. Does that
Can
make
you
sense?
Keep talking? Yeah,
yeah.
Keep like,
so I usually sense something that God said and then I inflate it or I add to it, or I'm like, oh, so this must be why. It's like I sort of go from A to B to F and G.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm like, I'm just going to stay at B because that's all you've given me.
Yeah.
And I'm already saying, Lord, you know, I will do whatever you want and I'm not going to be scared. I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to rejoice and relax and be totally who you've made me to be. And I think part of my angst in it is I think there's something in me that success, quote unquote, is largely found in numbers. Sort of like the American dream thing would be you've got a house, a picket fence, you know, like you've got two careers and a 401k. I don't really care about that.
Yeah.
To me, success would be numbers oriented. So I've got to be really careful. And for me, it means just saying it. My ears need to hear me confess that stuff. And it sort of just starts to pluck out the roots of that thing or expose them. Like get the sun on the roots and just start exposing them so that they can dry up quick.
Yeah.
So you'll notice like those kind of things of not keeping them tucked in anymore because that is a grounding a bed for
like,
letting those
Andy,
things.
We know it's not about the numbers. You already said that.
Right. And you'll notice, Katie, whatever those things are, it's so purposeful because I've hidden them in my heart for other areas and it's not worth it. Instead, put sunlight on that sucker and let that disinfect the weirdness.
So how do you discern between waiting and dragging your feet? Because I think as women, we probably
that's a good question
like experience
well a couple things I am not a feet dragger I'm a let's put all the carts on this horse and go as fast as far as we can, but it's when I used to be more afraid of stuff, maybe I would drag my feet. But I think early on I've learned to be like, Lord, I am scared. Instead of trying to avoid the fact and not tell myself the reality, I'm like, tell myself what is true and tell God what is true right away. Instead of playing whack-a-mole and trying to get rid of that really, really quick.
Yeah.
And then second of all, I will say, and I think I've done this for years and years and years, as soon as you say to do something, I'm going to do it. That might be today or in months from now regarding this particular thing.
Yeah.
And it becomes a mindset for me so that as soon as it's on, I've already told myself, here's how you're going to do this. You're not going to wonder. Mm. You're not going to pussyfoot around the thing or back out of it. No. Like, and it feels like to me recognition of that is immaturity. Mm-hmm. I've been walking with God, Katie, for 30 years. Yeah. I don't want to act like a
milk drinker.
Yes, like a milk drinker. Yeah. When I'm a grown woman in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And a grown woman just like you and I don't got it all together, make plenty of mistakes, but I'm not 14. Yeah. I'm 44 or 45, whatever, at 45. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like, don't act like you're 40, like you're 14, Andy.
Yeah.
Like, don't act like a rebellious teenager trying to get out of responsibility, but at the same time being like, hey, I'd like something to do. And then that's the other thing is recognizing I don't want to live in the dissonance. For example, I pray almost every day, God, I believe you have calling for me, and you gave it to me since I was a little baby, beautiful fetus, and you developed plans perfectly for me. Perfectly. I want to live them today. And so whenever you want to show them to me, I'm game.
Yeah.
Katie, can you imagine being a woman who's like, God, I want to, like, what is it that you got? And then as soon as he speaks it, you run and hide like a scared rabbit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do that. I think I've done that for long enough and I feel tired of it.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm like, whatever you've got, I trust you. I think I trust you. I trust you as much as I know how to.
Yeah.
And that's enough to take a little step.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I think for, you know, I'm more anxiety prone. So I'm like, you know, it's not like rebellion or it's kind of like, you've got to talk me through it. I think for women that are more like me, it's, you know, trusting, like Ephesians saying, I've got work that is specific to you. So trusting, like, there is no other human being on the earth in time that is specifically gifted or designed as I have designed you to do this work.
Yeah.
And so if that is true, then stepping in it.
Yeah.
And you mentioned this earlier, so I did want to caution, the times that I've gotten hearing from God wrong, I try to define what I was hearing.
Yes. Yep.
In order to either make people understand, in order to give them an action item, lessen the blow, in my face, backfired.
Yep. Didn't it go well?
No.
And I think that's where I'm sitting these days is there's just this little, maybe I'll call it a premonition. It's a really poor word, but it's this little, a droplet that won't go away. And for once, Katie, I'm not wishing it away. Instead, I'm like, if that's you, you're going to do that. But I think what I'm not doing these days is that, is being like, well, that must be. Well, now we need to find a place and a location. And how am I? It's like, nope. You're going to give me, God, exactly what I need, exactly when I need it, period. Instead of me having to get the order from the commanding officer, as Timothy, you know, 2 Timothy would say, and then feel like I've got to do the whole operation by myself. I'm like, no. This is my friend. I'm no longer a slave. He calls me a friend. And I think instead, you and I have been talking about John 15, this thing. And Katie, it's like taking on a new life in me of my role is to abide in him and let him bear much fruit, because apart from him, nothing. Like, I can't do anything. And I feel like really aware of that in a way that doesn't make me feel less than. It makes me feel like, Lord, we all know you're the one who produces fruit. I'm just going to stay connected to you. You'll just do that whenever you want to. And I think I'm probably past the point of being like, I don't know if that's really God or not. I'm like, I know your voice well enough to be confident with it.
Yeah.
Like when my husband calls me on the phone and I pick it up, Katie, do you know how many times I wonder, is that my husband? Never.
Yeah,
I never, ever have wondered if that's him.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't look at caller ID is what you're saying.
I don't need caller ID.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know the voice of my husband, and it feels like this, like, I know the voice of God, Katie, and it's time to start living that way with some peace and confidence and just being like, God's speaking to me about some stuff, and it's just, he's going to do it. And for right now, I'm enjoying the quiet of it. So anything else that you would add to the conversation?
I think my last remaining thought, maybe more of a question to you, is so, like, if I'm not hearing the voice of God, what's my next step? What am I, and, you know, no formulas, because this is not, but it's just like, if I'm hearing this and my heart is being moved because there is something there at this point, I'm like, I want more, like, but I can't be listening to this over and over. I've got to do something. What is that?
Well, I can only speak from my experience in the last few months.
Yeah.
Because, Katie, I heard God's voice in the last 5 years, let's say, but it wasn't the same.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things for me is, one, I'm realizing how much time I'm crowding out the voice of God.
Mm.
And I'm asking God, will you speak to me? Mm. And will you give me ears to even want to be attentive? And for me, for several weeks, that was running through my heart is like, I don't really want to be attentive. Wait, no, God, I want to be attentive. Mm-hmm. And so just being really honest about the facts of life here is, although I wanted to hear God, I didn't want to when reality was in motion, I made no room to hear God.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the Holy Spirit would be like, hey, Andy, off your phone, off your phone, honey. And I'd be like, I don't want to. Okay. And kind of just put it down a little bit, forcing my own hand and going, no, get out of it. Get out of the moment, the feeling, the laziness, the lack of clarity about the real prize.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that verse has actually been really helpful to me too, is Hebrews 11:2 talks about running my race in my lane because of the prize.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Katie, I realized, oh my gosh, my eyes are so on the wrong prizes. Those aren't the prize. Like, what is prize worthy about this really great game called Triple Tile? It's free on Apple. And it's really stupid. You just match three pictures over and over and over. Katie, what on earth is my prize with the hour and a half sometimes that I would play per day, Katie?
Yeah.
What is my prize there?
Yeah.
It's laziness and it's getting to check out.
And a strong thumb.
And a strong thumb. That's probably going to give me, what do you call that little thingy?
Yeah.
Like bad stuff. So, but then I had to keep going, okay, so that's the behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's not just laziness and it's not just checking out.
Yeah.
Why? And
yes.
It's like, well, because I'm tired of responsibility. Why?
Yeah.
Because I am doing not too much, but I'm not enjoying the things I am doing. Well, why?
Yep.
Because I'm missing Jesus in the midst of it. Oh.
Yeah.
And then I get to John 15 and it's like, oh, the joy of obeying his commands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like those kind of things for me personally is realizing I was frustrated and sad that I wasn't hearing from God. But then I looked really at my life.
Mm-hmm.
I asked God into it. Would you speak? When he did, I'm like, I don't really want to put down something that feels good momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
And then assessing, what is the prize for me in this? And I just kept asking why to allow the Holy Spirit to show me some stuff. And then I'm like, this is not... I'm not saying it's wrong, Katie, nor am I saying it's off my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so much more thoughtful and attentive to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Lord, could I play a couple games? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, will you tell me when to stop? And I promise you, I'm going to obey.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Sometimes I do, a couple times I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not getting weird and legalistic.
Yeah.
And for me, black and white about it, it's living in the gray.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing of walking in the Spirit, where I feel like rather than walking in the Spirit for a long time now, I sort of was just walking according to a to-do list
mm-hmm.
and according to
self-imposed expectations, that's not walking in the spirit. Mm-mm. Although, Katie, you know what's crazy? They could look similar from the outside in.
Yeah.
If you had a video camera in my living room and in my house of what I did, they don't look very different.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, the inside of me, barely growing, barely growing, of walking in the spirit and being like, oh, I want that. Oh, that's right. Oh, okay, Lord, here I am. Oops, yeah. I slipped away. Oh, yeah. I'm back.
Yeah.
Or for the last few days, where have I been? I'm back.
Yeah. That's why I love that picture of the little girl. She's wearing and looking the same in those three different scenarios we talked about. But when she's guarded, her hands are down.
She's still in the dress.
Yes, she's still in the dress. But in that one, she's experiencing freedom. Still looks the same, same face, same dress. But it's like this freedom of swirling and dancing. And because that hold isn't there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Katie, so good. So good. Thank you.
Thank you for having
this
me
This is
on.
Katie's lunchtime.
Yeah.
A really, really busy time of year at your work. So thanks, Katie.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. All right, friends. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.